Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or something you'd like to discuss on this edition, give us a call right now. 844-322-2742. That's the number in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about getting established in the truth and just how important that is as far as relationships are concerned. And last week, all the way up until yesterday, we talked about how that relates in marriages. But, you know, it really spans all relationships that we have. And Paul talks about how we can have successful relationships in his letter to the Ephesians. And in verse 21 of chapter 5, he gives us the foundational principle of all relationships. He said we should submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Mm-hmm. So there's this mutual submission, one to another. I think that's the humility aspect of relationships. We don't think of others more highly than ourselves and all of those sort of things. And so he's talking about how we as Christians can have successful relationships, how we can really love one another as God in Christ has loved us. And why is that so vitally important? Because when the world sees that Christians are loving one another as God in Christ has loved them, then they're going to know for sure that Jesus is real, that this isn't just a fairy tale, that there's something to this Jesus thing. There's something to this good news of the gospel. So it's important for us to understand how to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So, you know, relationships are difficult. They're complex. There's all kinds of give and take and compromise and all of these sort of things. They're not easy, but they can be easier, and we can get along if we will just understand this truth of submitting to one another out of reverence to Christ. And the reason that we can do that is because of the foundation that we have in Christ Jesus. So if we'll just go through the book of Ephesians, we'll see things like this, that as believers in Christ, we've been given every spiritual blessing in Christ. We have been adopted to sonship in Christ. We have redemption through the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of God's grace. We've been marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit who guarantees our inheritance. We have been given God's great power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. We've been made alive together with Christ. We've been saved by grace through faith. We have been created anew in Christ Jesus for good works. We have been given access to the Father through the Spirit. We have the freedom and a confidence to approach God through faith in Christ. We have Jesus Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith. We have been given the power of the Holy Spirit working in our inner beings so that we can know and experience the love of God. We're a part of the body of Christ, and we are light in the Lord. That's who we are in Christ Jesus. That's what this new life in Christ is all about. And based on that foundation, then we can submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I don't have to look to other individuals to try to get all the things that I already have in Jesus. So if we'll understand all that we have in Jesus and all that we have as a result of the grace of God that has been poured out upon us richly, I mean, God just didn't put a little drop of grace on us. Mm-hmm. I mean, he lavished his grace upon us in Christ Jesus. If we understand what we have in Christ Jesus, then that will free us to submit to others out of reverence for Christ. And if we will trust that other believers are standing on that firm foundation in Christ and are allowing the Spirit to work in them, then they will freely choose to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, and then our relationships will just take off. That's the way God has designed it. So we need to be established in all of these wonderful truths. So I just encourage you as a believer in Christ to take a quick spin through the book of Ephesians and mark down all of these wonderful things that you already have in Jesus. You know, there's one passage that says we've been seated with Christ in the heavenlies. I mean, that shows the finality of what Christ has accomplished for us. So there's nothing for us to try to gain. We already have been given every spiritual blessing in Christ. So take a spin through particularly the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians. Mark down all the things that you have in Christ. Thank God for those wonderful truths, for those wonderful realities. And then I guarantee you, you will see your heart attitudes being transformed, and you will willingly want to submit to others out of reverence for Christ.
Well, all this is a part of being established in truth, friends, that if you want to grow as a believer, if you want Christ to be abundant and full in your life, well, you need to be established in truth. And that's the title, of course, of Bob's newest CD, Established in Truth. It homes in on what it means to stand firm, to be established in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'd like to have a copy, well, we'd like you to have one. Just go online to basicgospel.net, click that donate button, or you can call 844-322-2742 anytime, 24 hours a day. Either way, we'll get a copy of this important new CD, Established in Truth, on the way to you. Again, donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Well, right now, plenty of open lines. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Yeah, Bob, before we go to our phone lines, I certainly think we should mention the tragedy yes. that happened in Florida, 17 people killed and by a troubled soul, a very troubled young man. And, you know, my heart goes out to those families. And we posted something on our Facebook page to express our heart's desire. And, you know, there's just so much tragedy going on in the world. I heard one news reporter say this was the 12th school shooting just this year in 2018.
Yeah.
And it's only February 15th. I mean, we've only been a month and a half and have already had 12 shootings, school shootings across this country. It's just tragic that families have to endure such loss, such sudden loss. Yeah. They drop their kids off at school, or their kids say, you know, they leave the house going to school. It's just going to be a normal day, and everything turns upside down. And, of course, you know, everybody scratches their heads and say, how in the world can we prevent that from ever happening again? And certainly in this case, I think, you know, if we just make ourselves more aware of what's going on and get more involved with people, I think we can discern what's kind of happening out there. We live in such a world where we're the most connected society that's ever been, with all of the social media, all of our devices that we use as far as iPads and phones and all of that. We're so connected electronically, but we're not very connected personally. We walk around in isolation. Even though we're in crowds of people and we're around people, we're still isolated. We're alone. We don't take time to get to know people, just to have conversations and to find out what's going on. I've said time and time again that Christianity is interested in the souls of men. God has come to save our souls. He sent Jesus to do that very thing. Well, if Christianity is so interested in the souls of men, it seems like that we should be interested in finding out what's going on in the souls of men and being able to have those conversations and those connections. And when we find a troubled soul, to be able to offer some type of help. Now, I'm not saying that's going to prevent all the evils in the world, but I guarantee you, if we're more aware of what's going on in people around us and not live such isolated lives, it would do a great service as far as safety concerns are in this country.
Yeah, Bob, you know, to me, a great part of the social fabric of this country is in tatters. Jesus has been taken out of the workplace. He's been taken out of the schools. He's been taken out, in large part, out of the homes. He is the only answer to this.
And yes.
Until he makes his entrance again, I think we're going to continue to see these things.
Yeah, so like I've said, we Christians need to take the lead.
Absolutely.
We need to be a voice in the public square. We need to have the courage to get to know the neighbor across the fence, have the courage to get to know the people in our neighborhoods, in, you know, our workplace, in our kids' schools. Know what's going on, take the lead, find out what's happening, and then if we see troubled kids, to speak out, to raise awareness and say, what can we do to bring help to this person?
Absolutely. Well, again, it's Basic Gospel, everybody. I'm glad you're with us. If you'd like to join the conversation, call now, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go quickly to Brad in O'Fallon, Missouri. Hi, Brad.
How y'all doing? Amen to your opening, and I think you could probably spend the rest of the half an hour listing all the things we have in Christ, but you did a pretty good job, Bob.
Well, I appreciate it.
My comment is, it ties into with what you've been talking about, and I just happen to be thinking about anything we do in life, anything. I don't care if it's carpentry, computer programming, anything. We have to understand the basics, the very foundation of all those things that we attempt to do, including love in relationships, love in marriage. And so often, even in the body of Christ, pastors and teachers can't teach what they're not being taught. And to me, what you talk about every day on this program and you do in your ministry, you're laying a foundation. And I can't emphasize enough new creation, new identity, resurrection life, all these things that are meant to be learned immediately upon conversion or having a salvation experience. And what happens most of the time is everybody gets going into behavioral modifications and battling sin and battling the devil when the devil's already been defeated. And as Richard and I talked about yesterday, the solution is run to Jesus. It's not putting up resistance or fighting, but I appreciate everything you're doing, and I'm grateful that I have those foundational settings in my life, thanks in a large part to you and Andrew Farley and things like that. So I appreciate it and just love what you guys do. Thank you.
Well, Brad, thanks for calling. We sure appreciate it. And, you know, we do. We do need to get back to the basics. And I think in any arena of life, when things start messing up, you know, wise leadership takes the team back to the basics and makes sure the fundamentals are being executed properly. That's in sports. That's in business. That's in relationships. And we need to be established in these truths, in these fundamental truths. And, boy, they will be lived out in every area of life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's go to Jacob from Alberta and hear what's on his mind.
Good evening. It's John calling from Edmonton, Canada. I had a question and was wondering what Jacob's birthright that he inherited was. I know that it says the birthright, and the birthright was Joseph's. And I'm wondering, what was that birthright that was passed from Jacob to Joseph's and not to his brothers? Thank you.
Well, it's an interesting question, isn't it, Richard? The birthright of Jacob. You know, we have Jacob and Esau. Esau was born first. They were twins. And so just by convention and custom and tradition in that part of the world at that time, the firstborn was the most important.
Yes.
The birthright was given to him. But God had already said that the older is going to serve the younger.
Mm-hmm.
And so the birthright was going to be Jacob's, that he was going to be the one whom the promise would flow through. So God gave a promise to Abraham that through your seed, the whole world is going to be blessed. That promise was carried to Isaac. and then to Jacob. And that's how God had ordered it. And even though Esau was born first, that wasn't going to thwart what God had already declared and already decreed would happen, that Jacob would be the one that would carry the promise forward. And that's that's what he did, and we see how that was lived out. So Richard, explain a little bit about that birthright and how it came about for Jacob.
Well, the birthright included a lot of practical everyday things. That means that when the father died, the son who received the birthright would receive all of the property and the land and all of that kind of thing. But for Abraham's family, it was way more important than that. And you see that when you get down here to Jacob and all of his sons. And when you read in Genesis 49 what Jacob prophesied over his sons when he was dying, had very little to do with property and riches and all of the rest of it. What he was doing was talking to them about the kind of people they were, how faithful, how unfaithful, how they had served the family or served others or not. And two of them received major blessings. Our caller mentioned Joseph. Joseph was Jacob's favorite son. And there was this huge thing about blessing here, and I won't read it all. You can see it in Genesis 49, of the many things that Jacob prophesied over Joseph. But the one through whom the promise was given, and that's the really important one, was Judah.
Yes.
Was Judah. He is the one through whom the promise of this seed to bless the entire world went. And so that's why we know, for example, that the new covenant required a change in the priesthood, because under the Mosaic covenant, the priesthood belonged to Levi. And yet, according to Jacob's own blessing, the scepter was not going to leave Judah, and Jesus came through the line of Judah. So therefore, the priesthood changed, the law had to change, the new covenant is completely different. Jacob did bless Joseph uniquely compared to his brothers. But as we know, if we follow the history, Joseph didn't go to the promised land.
Yes.
His sons Manasseh and Ephraim had their own tribes, and those tribes went, and I think we talked about it a little bit yesterday. Manasseh was split into two because they lived on other opposite sides of the river, and Ephraim had a different allotment in the land. But it was Judah through whom the promise went.
Right.
And that is the key issue in all of the birthright from Abraham through. It was who gets the promise of the Messiah.
Yes.
That's the key point.
Yes. So Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David, Jesus.
Yes.
So Jesus is the end result. I mean, he is the fulfillment of that promise to Abraham, and it's through Jesus and through Jesus alone that the whole world is blessed. So anyone who receives Christ, whether Jew or Gentile, in any part of the world, receives the very blessing that God gave to Abraham,
yes,
the blessing of Christ Jesus.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, it's Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we invite you to join the live stream of Basic Gospel every day on Facebook and YouTube. Come on in and see what goes on inside the studio. Also, want you to stay connected, if you possibly can, as you go about your daily activities through the Basic Gospel app, and there's a lot that you can do with it. You can access the archive, the radio archive. You can send a question to us. You can make a donation. You can do it all with the Basic Gospel app.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go and here, somebody has a question on James 5, 19 and 20.
I've been listening the last few nights, and I noticed that they're talking about people asking about losing salvation and stuff like that. I was just wondering what would be your take on James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, where it talks about brethren, if you err from your way, and then another brother brings you back, then you save that one from death and returned a sinner back to the light, I guess. I'm paraphrasing it all, but because I'm driving right now, just want to know what your take on that is, okay? Thanks, and have a good night.
Well, that's an excellent question.
Yeah.
And, there's so many passages in the New Testament that if you read it just with a certain viewpoint, you can make it say that you can lose salvation. And this is one of those passages. So it reads this: "My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." So we read first brother and we think, oh my goodness, he's talking about Christians. Well, that's not necessarily the case. Oftentimes in the New Testament, when you see the word brother, it's referring to Jewish brothers. So, for example, Paul says that in Romans 9, 10, and 11. He's talking about his brothers, his Jewish brothers. Now, they had not come to faith in Jesus, but he still considered them brothers. James would have felt the same way about his Jewish brothers. They grew up in the same way of life, and so he has a fond affection for them. So he says, if you see one of your brothers wandering away from the truth, this truth in the old covenant that was pointing forward to Jesus Christ, if you see someone wandering away from that, let them know that whoever brings back a sinner, and here's the key, he's using the word sinner. Never in the New Testament does he call a believer a sinner. Mm-hmm. We were sinners. That's what we once were, but we have been saved by grace, and now we're children of God, saints by calling. So we have a new identity. Yes. So God is never going to call us a sinner once we've been saved, once we've been made alive in Christ Jesus. So whoever brings back a sinner, so they've heard a little bit about the truth, they've wandered away from it, and whoever brings them back to the truth and they receive the truth and are born again, it says that person's soul has been saved from death and it will cover a multitude of sins. That's what love does. It reaches out to those with the good news of Jesus, and it covers a multitude of sins. You know, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them. And so we can reach out to whoever, to whomever, with that same truth and share the good news of Jesus. And if somebody receives, their soul has been saved from death.
Yeah, I like the way he puts this. It presumes that you're in relationship.
Yes.
This isn't just walking out on the street and grabbing the first person you see and trying to drag them back to church. This is somebody you know.
Yes.
Someone you may be related to, have been good friends with, and you're in a unique position to take Jesus to them because you've already established that relationship.
Yes, indeed. Well, thank you for that question. Let's go to Thorndale, Texas, and talk to Clay. Clay, we've got about a minute.
I changed what I wanted to talk about. I'll call about 1 Corinthians 13. I gleaned something from that book I got from y'all on My Worst Day by John Lynch. I really like it. But with this pain going on in Florida, and I'll paraphrase this, God never misses an opportunity when the world system or the enemy in this world brings about pain to bring forth his salvation. And it's usually going to come through those that are established in grace or a child, and rarely through religion. That's the reason I want to become more and more grace. I want everything that's available to grace.
Well, Clay, I think you're 100% right. Yes. And I know that God will make his presence known in a real way. To bring comfort, to bring healing, to bring salvation to those who need it. So, Clay, thanks for your good word today. We appreciate that, as always.
Well, friends, we love hearing from you. And if you have a question you'd like to pose, we encourage you to call anytime, day or night, 844-322-2742. Now, I promise you, we won't be here all night, but we would love to hear your voice by recording. And we'll be glad this coming week to address your question here on Basic Gospel. You know, Basic Gospel is a listener-supported program, and we'll say thanks for your support this month by sending you our new CD by Bob Christopher. It's called Established in Truth. It's our gift back to you when you donate to help keep Basic Gospel on the air and online every day. And to make your gift and receive your copy, just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. That's the same number we use every day, 844-322-2742 or at basicgospel.net. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us for that exciting series in Hebrews as we continue on Basic Gospel tomorrow at the same time. See you then. Bye-bye.